97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you, along with Joe Torty in the house on this Tuesday night. Good to have Joe Torty back. JT in there hanging out. What's up, man?
They let me back in the building again.
Of course. With you. You have to be in the building. You have to be in the building. Also with Josh Rabick as well. We're all going until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night. And this thing is still rolling, folks. Still rolling along as the Philadelphia 76ers conversation is still pushing from the morning show to Anthony to Mike and the crew. And of course, here now, we're going to continue the conversation to discuss the same thing as well with the conversation about Ben Simmons getting into a new role, if you will, with the squad. Now, remember last night when we talked about this, just to start things off before we bring Joe in to get his take on it, get Josh's thoughts as well. I mentioned this every time I said new role with him at the four, because this is what Brett Brown pointed out, that he is basically playing exclusively at the four. All right, he's playing exclusively at the four on July 14th. Their first game is not until regular season-wise, seeding games, August 1st. So we still have some time until we really get to see how they use this basketball team with Ben Simmons in this new role. And I personally think that, yes, he will be running up the floor without the basketball. Shake will have it. Yes, he will be running up the floor with the ball in his hands. He will have it. The same can be said when Josh Richardson will bring the ball up the floor and initiate things, which very often is a dribble handoff, something quickly to the left side. You run off that body, then you dump it down to Embiid with about 14 left on the shot clock and allow him to make a decision on how he wants to go to work. That's how they're going to run the offense. So everyone will get it. And like I said, it is July 14th. It is day number 4 of practice. It's okay right now. It may work, may not work. Right now, I'm in favor of this. What do they have to lose in this particular scenario of trying this out? If you want to talk about the smash mouth offense that everyone keeps bringing up, well, doesn't mean you still cannot do it. You're just incorporating something different within their offensive flow that they've now realized during this break, during the hiatus of 4 months off from professional basketball, watching the film, that this is something that they can try out. Again, it may work, it may not work. I am in favor of it. I like the move. If you listen to Anthony's show, the whole basis today, it was a good listen, was he was not in favor of it. He doesn't see why. This seems like, and Mike pointed it out as well, this seems like a desperate play here right now for Brett Brown. And that very well may be true, because if Brett Brown does not advance very far into this new system that they have with the postseason, he could very well be out of a job. He has to try something. He has to say, I exhausted every possibility out there with this basketball team to see exactly what we can do against our opponents. That is going big. That is going smaller, because they're still big. Shake Milton is 6'2", 6'3", where Josh Richardson is 6'5", and everybody else is 6'8", and up. They're still pretty big, especially when you look at the fact that Josh Richardson is a very good defender in today's NBA on the wing. So you're going to have a small team. You're going to have a big team. You are going to have a versatile team. Sometimes you will see, of course, Al Horford at the five. Sometimes you will see Al Horford at the four. Some games you might see Al Horford close in the closing lineup as the closer with the team, with Matisse Thybulle, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. Sometimes you might see it differently where you go other directions as well. There are different variations within the flow of the 8-9 man rotation. We're going to see a lot of different people on the floor. the end result is what matters. Of course, how they get there, how do they get that W? I like the idea, for those who did not hear us last night, of Ben Simmons in this new particular role. We've seen it before. I think the only reason people are getting excited about this is because now Brett Brown is saying exclusively. Do you really believe that a two-time All-Star on the floor 3 years in his young professional career is not going to have the basketball in his hands a lot in the 38 minutes that he plays on a regular basis? I think it's more like 35 to 36, but in the postseason, he plays closer to 40 minutes. The guy just does not get tired. It's up to him to decide if he wants to be aggressive Ben Simmons, which is the best Ben Simmons, and look to attack for himself as well. When he does that, going downhill, that will surely open up things for the guys on the perimeter, Joel Embiid on the low block, et cetera, moving forward. His defensive play, getting those steals, which he leads the league in, getting out into the open floor, getting some easy buckets there. When he's aggressive in the half-court set, looking for his being aggressive Ben Simmons, which is the best Ben Simmons, getting those free throw opportunities, upping it to about 4, 5, 6 a game, hopefully more, knocking them down at a decent clip where that number goes up, getting the defense in foul trouble, giving them another opportunity to look at this team as to how to defend them when Ben Simmons is doing this, whatever that this is in said game, when he is doing this, oh man, we have a problem. Now what do we do? Oh, well, dump it down to Joel Embiid. He goes crazy. They have another problem. That's why you have two All-Stars on your squad and a collective group that can also score the basketball. Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, so on and so forth. We'll see what Shake Milton does. And let me clear that up quickly, too, with Shake Milton. Shake Milton, I like. I keep saying this. I like the guy. But I don't expect him to average more than 9 to 11 points when he's out there. That might be too much in a playoff atmosphere. I don't know. I have no idea. But they don't need him to explode for 17 a game. They need him to be a steady ball handler out there with Ben Simmons for Joel Embiid to get those entry passes. How many times do we speak about simple things like, can a guy make an entry pass? Can a guy make a simple basketball pass in the interior to get your big guy a very good opportunity to do what he does on the low block? Shake Milton can do that. Ben Simmons can do that as well. Josh Richardson, I believe, is also someone who can do that. This is a problem that we had where I felt only TJ McConnell on the team can make a simple entry pass and get the ball to the big fella and allow him to go to work. Shake Milton is not in there to do something like go off for 39. It would be nice. We'll take it. You only need one of them in a playoff series where you're going to get two wins from Embiid, one from Simmons, and let's move on to the next round. I know it made it sound real easy, but it's not that easy. But you understand what I'm saying. And then the other points in terms of Simmons getting his good looks and his scoring opportunities in transition, both with the ball and without the ball, filling that lane. I bring it up again. Game two, Tobias Harris, first game, joining the 76ers when he arrived last year via that trade from Los Angeles. And what did he do? He snatched that rebound off the rim. He turned and started to go. Ben Simmons was waiting for the outlet. No. Run. This was an issue that they could not do this with. J.J. Redick, Robert Covington, Marco Bellinelli, Ersan Ilyasova, anyone else that was here in Philadelphia when they were playing, because they could not do that. Jimmy Butler, you can do that with. Tobias Harris, you can do that with. Shake Milton, you can do that with. These are free buckets for Ben Simmons and the 76ers in transition. I don't see where this is a negative. I see this only as a positive for this basketball team. Joel Embiid will get the first opportunity in the half-court set. Joel Embiid will get the opportunity when the secondary break happens and he is the trail man in the middle of the floor at the top of the three-point line, either shooting it or giving them that long ball fake that everyone seems to fall for, and then puts the ball on the floor and do what he does and gets to the basket. For me, it's only a positive. We spoke about it last night. How can we not continue to talk about it tonight as the morning show? Anthony Gargano, Mike Missanelli with Ty talking about it, and now us here with Joe Torti, Josh Rabick, until 10 o'clock. Joe, what's going on, man, again, and how do you look at this thing?
Well, D, I mean, a couple of things, too, in addition to everything you laid out, which obviously we've been talking about Ben Simmons' shooting deficiencies for what feels like forever, or reluctance to shoot, or whatever you want to say. Those are things, and that specific skill has become so important to point guards in 2020 that it's worth taking a look, despite the fact that Ben is a two-time All-Star, like you said, right? You look at how good he is relative to the top point guards in the league versus how good he could be as one of the power forwards, right? Like, I'm looking at him as a power forward, and I'm trying to think, all right, you've got Giannis, who's the top power forward in the league. Sabonis has been really good. Anthony Davis, obviously, really good. Mm-hmm. Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
Simmons might be that fifth dude. Is Ben Simmons the fifth best point guard in the NBA? I don't think there's a way that you could say that. Like, I just think that there's too many good ones now to say that Ben's a top five point guard in the NBA. Right? So if you're not going...
You might have to come back to that.
We'll take a look. We'll
come back to that.
I was reminded kind of, you know how like the Houston Rockets tried to do the Warriors thing and they just like weren't as good as the Warriors were at doing the Warriors stuff, so they were never going to catch them. If it's a point guard league, then fine. But you're talking about, you know, Lillard and Westbrook and Harden and all these guys going back and forth at each other all the time. In a head-to-head arms race, I just don't think that the Sixers are... I don't think they have that kind of firepower. I just don't think that Simmons versus those guys is going to create the same offensive fireworks. Is he worlds better defensively than Harden? Obviously he is. But like when I'm looking at it, I think if you're not going to win that battle anyway, you might as well try to have your point guard do quote-unquote normal point guard stuff. And like you said, there might not be anything truly special with a capital S about Shake Milton, but can he hit an outside shot? Can he run the offense?
Yes.
Can he make an entry pass?
Yes.
Like, those are things that you need your point guard to do. Can he make the right decisions? So far, limited sample size, he's made a lot of really good decisions with the ball, right? Versus, you talk about Ben's quickness, his versatility defensively, his improvement. People say that he doesn't have a low post game. I think his low post game is improving. I think that he's getting better at it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what he could be at the four, and it makes you wonder if this was going to work out and you could make it happen with somebody like Shake Milton at the one. What took so long to make this change happen in the first place? Because it seems to me that once you started sniffing that the Al Horford marriage wasn't all that you hoped it might be, this seemed like it was kind of a logical next step to take, and I'm curious as to why it took a coronavirus stoppage and a bubble plan in the NBA for this thing to start to take shape here. Maybe it's a better late than never situation, but I saw this yesterday. My first thought was, good. Should have been like this for a while. You know, we set this arbitrary deadline about when we're going to give up on Ben Simmons shooting threes or shooting from the outside. Whenever that was, that already passed. Like, no matter what who you are out there, you set some kind of deadline. We're way past that now. So we might as well try to maximize what Ben Simmons does really, really well, which are all the things that you just laid out in transition. He's an unbelievable screener. Nobody talks about like his impact in the scream and roll game
last night. Yeah,
I mean, like, there are lots of things that so many people are focused on what Ben can't do. And it's because the point guard gets the most scrutiny of any position in the NBA. You put him at power forward, it's a different ballgame.
And see, here's the thing, too, with that, as you just lay that out, and Josh will get to you shortly as well, that I don't look at him as a power forward, Joe. I look at him as, we talked about this before, when it comes to, you and I have done these plenty of times together. He's a basketball player.
Well, so is Giannis,
and
so
think,
is Siakam,
exactly.
So are all the other guys
I
mentioned.
I mean, they have to be labeled as something because when it comes down to votes for the All-Star game or putting up a graphic on television and naming the all-defensive teams and naming the all-NBA squads, they have to have a title next to it. Basketball player. Simmons said today, when he was talking about all of this stuff, Ben Simmons pointed out in one of the quotes that he said, and we have audio and all of that, but Simmons pointed out that he was simply, I'm a basketball player, right? I'm a basketball player, and I'll find a way to get it done, whether it's at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's a quote, quickly. I'm a basketball player. At the end of the day, if you know me, you know if you put me on the floor, I'll make anything happen, whether it's plays, buckets, stops. I'll guard anyone 1 through 5. I'll run the floor. I can get to the rim. I can score the ball, and I can make plays happen. So wherever you put me, if I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's going to happen. That is Ben Simmons today. A basketball player. That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. I didn't care if he was labeled a 1, a 4. The only time I mention him as a 5 is when he is actually playing center in a small ball lineup where he's the 5 and defending a 5. That's the only time I ever really label him as anything, because I think he is that good where he has an impact no matter what he is doing out there on the floor. Of course, the shooting thing is always going to come into play, and of course it will. Okay, we can't do anything about it. But when he's out there, he's a basketball player.
See, you know that I've pushed back on the positionless basketball thing a little bit. Yep. Not because I don't believe in it, but because there are so few Simmonses. There are so few LeBron James or Giannis. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the Sixers had a team full of these guys, like it looked like they were trying to build one, by the way, in recent years, then it makes more sense. But like, you have guys that are trying to fill roles, and that means that there are other roles that are still available. Can Ben Simmons do all kinds of stuff? Absolutely he can. But, I mean, like, for example, to say that he can play the 2. What 2 stuff is Ben Simmons doing if roles 1, 3, 4, and 5 are already being filled? You know what I mean?
That's so why,
like,
I went 1, 4, and 5.
Well, you and I are 3. We're speaking the same language. But like, Ben can say whatever he wants. If Brett Brown had an entire team full of Ben Simmons and LeBron James and Giannis type dudes where positionless basketball actually becomes a thing, that's all good. There have been teams that have had that. Sixers have not. And that's kind of where I push back on it here. It's because I get that the NBA is going in a certain direction. I'm sorry, not every team has Joel Embiid. Like, Joel Embiid is not a positionless basketball player.
No. He's a 5.
You know what I mean?
Harris is a 4 in this case.
So already,
Shaq is a 1. Richardson is a 2. Ben is a basketball player.
But that's what I'm saying. And what's left? You just named the 4.
He's a basketball player.
I don't really
player.
Care that
just
you're a
basketball. Just go do stuff.
We got the 3 left.
Just go do stuff. So the question to start off, as Joe pointed out, to start off here tonight, what took so long in making this move? 610-632-0975. And again, as Joe started to lay it out, liking the move, how he feels about this whole thing. Where are you guys on this? I mean, just at this point of where they are, if you want to call it a return or however you want to deem this thing, does it make sense to do this now? Does it make sense? 610-632-0975. Because I say yes. I say yes, it makes sense to do this right now. It may not last. It may not last where Brett Brown decides, I don't like this, let me tinker with this. He can do that. He can tinker with it. He doesn't have to stick to this the entire time. He's giving teams something else to look at as they get underway with their exhibition games, the regular season seeding games, and then the postseason. I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither. And I actually think that some people who said that Brett Brown should be fired, one of the things that they have, some people, not everybody, have on the resume is stubbornness and determinism to make Ben Simmons a point guard when he's not, in their view or whatever, right? So, like, at the very least, Brett's like, all right, we have our 8 or 9 or 10-man rotation, however big it's going to be. He said 9. We'll see. I'm going to try everything. I'm going to try all the different pieces that I have and all the different combinations to try to find a way to make it work. Because, to be honest, D, they just weren't playing great headed into the stoppage to begin with.
JT, they were 39 and 26.
Yeah, it's not good.
You're allowed to tinker.
Oh, yeah.
With things. And you can still do smash mouth offense if you want to. You will definitely play bully ball defense that they spoke of before the season got underway, because they still have the same personnel. The ideas are the same. None of that changes. The only thing that changes right now is how they decide to use the flow of the offense. what took so long for this move to be made? 610-632-0975. And guys, why now? Why now make this move? Why? I think I know. It's something that you just have to go out there and change. Looking at 39 and 26, having the time off like a regular offseason, realizing things did not work. That's why now. Because at the end of the day, Brett Brown could be out of a gig when this is all said and done if they don't walk out of this one with at least a finals appearance.
And by the way, good on the Sixers to have everybody on the same page when it comes to this as well. Because this time last year, or maybe thereabout, when Ben Simmons was in the dunker spot and Brett Brown saying, all right, we got to find a way to just make it work and that's where he can help us. And Ben Simmons is effectively being like, yeah, I don't belong in the dunker spot. Like, it's a little bit different. His tone and his message is a little bit different this year. So I don't know if he got coached up. I don't know if his perspective has changed. I don't know what happened, but it's definitely different.
For the betterment of the team.
For sure. There's
better
no doubt.
Of the team. So when we get back, Joe, I want you to also explain how to use Ben Simmons as a four man as you talk about. All right, 610-632-0975. And when we get back, we'll also give you our side topic. We're going to have some fun tonight because, yeah, we've been talking about bubble watch. And this is a fun bubble watch question that we want to throw out as a side topic to go along with our Sixers conversation to start off. We are not ignoring, of course, Jason Peters. We will talk about that. A signing by the Birds, bringing the bodyguard back. I like it. See what Joe has to say, see what Josh Rabick has to say, and see what you guys have to say as well. So 610-632-0975. What took so long to make this move, and why now? 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens with Josh Rabick until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic,
the one thing, of course, that we did not mention, Barrett Brooks will join us from NBC Sports Philly, and of course, a contributor on The Fanatic. Barrett Brooks will join us at 7 o'clock to talk about the move with Jason Peters. We talked about this with Barrett a couple of weeks ago, actually, when we started looking at different things when Brandon Brooks got hurt. We reached out to Barrett. B. Brooks, of course, and we talked about different opportunities, free agent pickups and Matt Pryor, all of that, right, Josh? We did that. And we also spoke about Jason Peters. So we'll get Barrett's thoughts on what Jason Peters at right guard means for the Philadelphia Eagles. And B. Brooks is a big basketball fan.
Yes.
So we have to get his thoughts on this Ben Simmons stuff.
Accomplished player, too.
Yes, he was. Still is.
Well, I think you can take him now. I don't know. We'll see.
Not with my knee.
We'll have to get that set. Oh, yeah, you had a setback. We got to talk about that.
Not with my knee. No way, man. But 610-632-0975. Before we give out the side topic that we were going to share with the folks to have the conversation with the Simmons and Shake Milton and all of this, how do you use him, Joe? How do you use Ben Simmons at the four?
Well, I mean, he's already flashed some stuff that did us really well, right? Like, so he... As much as people don't like the turnaround and jump pass, and I hear you, I don't like that either. But he's been an effective passer from the high post, either to the low post or kicking corners, right? I'm not saying that he has to be like a Tim Duncan-type power forward person. I'm thinking, and this is an insult to Ben Simmons, so don't take it this, but like the way that Terrence Williams and these other guys who were like point forwards, you know, where the point guard brings the ball up and then the offense really starts whenever this guy gets the ball. It's true with Giannis right now too. Like the offense really starts whenever Giannis gets the ball now to begin with for Milwaukee, right? So like things like that he's already been comfortable with. You and I have talked about him, how effective he is as a screen and roll threat. I don't know if there's anybody better as the screener. I don't know if there's anybody scarier as the screener in the entire NBA. I'm not sure if there is one. We've already seen him moving block to block in the dunker spot, which I know is something that he's probably not thrilled about, but he's good at it, unfortunately, yeah, for him, right? Yep, so yep. There's that. Attacking guys off the dribble, when there's nowhere to sag, you win, right? You can sag off of Ben Simmons if he's bringing the ball up and he's trying to get ahead of steam and run into a wall of people right around the foul line. If he's starting right around the foul line, there's nowhere to sag. Are you really going to give him a free throw jumper? You know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of areas here where, and by the way, the analytics on the Simmons and Embiid high-low game have been really good whenever they've happened that way. So,
and that's something that I like to see.
Yeah,
I also
absolutely.
I'll also like to see it reversed.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Embiid is at the top, and he does make that entry pass to Ben Simmons with somebody sealed already underneath the basket. We've seen it plenty of times where he flashes underneath the basket. Joel Embiid recognizes it in a quick zip pass. Sometimes he misses it. It's something that he has to get better. But we've seen it multiple times where Simmons somehow finds a way to get his body on his defender, seal him, and receive that entry pass. They resorted to simply fouling him.
Yeah. But he's getting better at the line.
And he was better at the free throw line down the latter stretches of before he was hurt and, of course, going into the All-Star break. And you know that's always been my thing. Get me up to 70% because I've already given up on you on the jump shot. So if I'm giving you that, I need you to give me this, 70% at the free throw
line.
So I need you to get there more and more and more and more and feel comfortable there. So when he does do that, now you're not worried about him touching the ball in late game situations. Now you're not only using him as the inbounder where he can be the inbounder, but also receive the ball back because he is making his free throws, or at least a threat to make the free throws at that time. And you have a little lead and you hope that he makes him to give you a little more cushion, but
he's not the free foul anymore.
No, he's no right. longer that. Not at all. So yeah, I like it. I like it that way. I like him roaming the baseline. I joined Anthony earlier today. Said it last night. Running along the baseline. Sealing guys on the low block. Pinning them underneath the basket. Flashing Joe to the center of the painted area where he makes himself available to receive it as a passer and or someone who can left, right, jump, hook. Use now his body as a post move for this to be an effective play. Flashing, as you said, free throw line, hitting Joel Embiid. Now that maybe, look, here's the thing. His defender may sag a little, but if he's constantly on the move, they don't know where he's going to be. And oftentimes when he's constantly on the move, he's going to find himself somewhere closer to the basket because that is his strength. He'll find himself away from the basket because if he does receive a pass and they then have to decide, I don't know where the ball is going when Joel Embiid is passing out of his double team. Oh, it's going to Ben Simmons. Is their reaction time quick enough where they can simply say, oh, no, I'm not going out there? No. Instincts tell you, let me run out to where this is. He might slow up. But Ben Simmons is already going 45 miles per hour from 22 feet away, and he only needs 1 to 2 dribbles to get to where he wants to go. Euro step, finish, layup. I hope he develops the floater. I keep saying that as a part of his offense if he's not going to shoot the jump shot. A little shot put, teardrop, floater. Get that going, Tony Parker style, right? You're in business. So I see a lot of different things for Ben Simmons in this new role that he'll have. By the way, he'll still have the ball in his hands a lot.
Sure, of course. Well, plus, we've got to talk about the dirty little secret too, Devon.
What's that? I want to hear this.
Nobody wants to talk about this, but this is the way it is. Ben Simmons is really, really keeping himself in shape. Like, he's working back from an injury, so he's in shape. There's going to be a lot of these guys who aren't in shape. By the time the bubble starts, there's going to be a lot of people that are not in shape. And I don't want to make stereotypes, but sometimes big guys fall out of shape a little bit more quickly than the guards do, right? Ben Simmons has already held the chase around to begin with. If you turn him into the power forward version of J.J. Redick, where guys who don't feel like chasing him around all over the floor have to chase him around all over the floor and they're out of shape, he's going to feast, man. Like, if you're a guard, you might be equipped to, like, chase him all over the floor and understand, all right, if he tries to body me and he's going to drive in, at least I'm going to have help. Everybody's collapsing in around Simmons. If you're a power forward trying to chase Simmons around, or God forbid he gets switched onto a center or something like that, and he's doing the baseline-to-baseline stuff that you're talking about, he's flashing up to the high post. Nobody wants to chase Ben Simmons around if you're one of the big guys who's starting in the NBA bubble. There's no prayer that you're excited to chase Ben around. That's the other. It might not be true 100% of the time in the season, but at the beginning here, when we're getting started and everybody's complaining about the Disney World food and all this other kind of stuff is happening, there are going to be people that just plain don't feel like chasing Ben Simmons all over the court.
I hear you. Here's one before we get to the phones. 610-632-0975 to hit us up on Twitter, JT. Juice says, I honestly don't think his role changes. I think the addition of another, quote, shooter will help his game, though. And that's what Shake Milton is. Someone who has proven now in his 39, 20, 17, 12, 15, those games that he has had productively on the floor for the 76ers, well, they have to respect Shake Milton. Now, if he can do that, if he can do that in a playoff atmosphere for the 76ers, of course that's going to help him, Simmons, but it's definitely going to help Joel Embiid. What they ultimately need at the end of the day, Simmons and Embiid, is for Richardson, Milton, and Harris, Korkmaz too, make your jump shots. They get looks. So when we start talking about the shooting team and today's league and all that stuff, they get looks. They have to make their shots at a decent clip to be respectable and defend things a certain way. And that will help then Ben Simmons. The other thing about Ben Simmons, and you know, Anthony was asking this earlier, he doesn't want it, of course, to take away from Joel Embiid. And I 100% agree with him because he is the initiator of it all. I remember somebody telling me at the scorers table, right around the scorers table, one of those seats, playoff game, even with Jimmy Butler on the floor, Brown was stomping his feet, yelling, get the ball into the big fella. Simple. It runs through him.
It's not a secret. People talk about a power struggle.
He's a top 10 player for a reason.
There's no power struggle.
None.
Embiid wins whatever.
So Anthony is right there. Get the ball to him.
Exactly.
And everything else flows from there. You just cannot have it stagnant. You don't want a stagnant offense where everyone's watching the big guy like a James Harden. Where you're watching the ball being, the air being pounded out of the ball because you're just dribbling so much. So, I don't see a problem with it. I think this will work. What do you guys think? And as Joe's question is to start it off, why did this take so long? 610-632-0975. And why now? Why now, coming off of a hiatus, coronavirus? They've already had a real off season with the amount of time that they've been off. So, it's what it is. They've had time to adjust. You make the adjustments in the offseason. This was basically an offseason for them. They don't have any new personnel, but they have healthy personnel, just like the rest of the league does with the 22 teams going inside this bubble. So what took them so long? And with it taking so long, how will this work? 610-632-0975. Lowell on Twitter. If Ben can't make the mid-range jump shot, it doesn't matter. If he can, it's a great move. So there you have it. So that's where we are on the phone. 610-632-0975. Barrett Brooks from NBC Sports Philly at 7 o'clock to talk about the Jason Peters move and also get his thoughts on some basketball stuff here with Ben Simmons and this new role. 610-632-0975. And we have to give you, of course, our side topic for the evening. But first, let's go to Center City and check in with Q, start things off for us here on 97.5 tonight. What's up, Q?
How you doing, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Ain't much. Hey, listen, this is the thing with Ben Simmons, man. You always say the best Ben Simmons is the aggressive Ben Simmons. Well, putting him at the four allowed for him to be aggressive. I look at him, he averaged 11 shots a game. Automatically, at the four, he goes up to 15, 16 shots. You know what I'm saying?
He should, and more free throw attempts, hopefully.
And more, exactly. And then they want to play this bully ball. Guess what? This is the time. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons down there, and it's I don't see him really. I see him imposing his will. Like, even if he don't take that 15 footer, that 12 footer, I got Ben being big enough, fast enough, where he can get around all that. And maybe force the action. You know what's coming, but you just can't stop it. you know, I really like this move. And I think it took a little while because the guy is such a talented player. He's like, we so quick to say, hey, change this, do that, do this. You got to give it some time when you're dealing with that kind of talent. Like, you don't treat a Ferrari like you would a buggy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and of course, with what Brown and the relationship with the family, people incorporate that. The fact that he gave him the ball right away when he came into the league when they were a bad team. So with that, when you feel like you had an advantage with a 6'10 player who can handle the ball the way that he does, where you pose a matchup nightmare for the opposition. So I got it and I understood it. And I still want the ball in his hands because he's already proven that he can have success. And this team has won 50 games back-to-back seasons with him as a primary ball handler. But it doesn't hurt to try something new as well.
And I think it changed. I mean, I think those same things going to happen. He's still going to have the ball in his hands majority more than anybody else on the court. And I think it changed his mindset, his psyche. I think it, like, if it builds him from 11 shots a game to 15, maybe 16, 17 shots a game, and have him being the best Ben Simmons, which is an aggressive Ben Simmons, I'm all for it.
I like it too, man. Joe has already said he likes it. We'll get Josh Rabick's thoughts. So far, last night when we started this thing off, many people like the move of giving this thing an opportunity. And not just Ben detractors. Even people who support Ben Simmons say, okay, I like this. Let's see how this whole thing plays out. We have to see it on the floor, but I like the thinking so far coming in. Let's be honest, Q and Joe. This is not just Brett Brown. This is Brett Brown and the coaching staff. They have had 4 months to talk about this. You talk about this with your general manager as well, as you just talked about, Q, and Anthony was talking about it earlier with the smash mouth offense. This is something that, while he has the final say, you are going to have these uncomfortable conversations with everybody. Hey, we might have to take him off the ball. Shake has some success. We might have to take the ball out of his hands and let Shake run things. We can do some things differently. This is not just a Brett Brown production here. This is something that I think that they've all discussed and said, let's do it. Let's try it out.
I agree.
Q, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate
it. No problem. Have a nice night.
You got it, man. 610-632-0975. And again, and we haven't played this yet, and hopefully we get to play it. This is the conversation I had with Brett Brown before they left to go to Orlando, and we talked for about an hour. And it's supposed to be on Sixers.com on the Sixers Podcast Network, and they're still fixing some things to make sure, you know, it gets out there. But I was listening to the part where we start talking more about basketball. And he said again, I think we figured something out. I don't know that this was it because he didn't tell me, but I think we figured something out. Looking back more specifically, JT, with the losses on the road, they were 29-2. Not many things did not go in their favor at the center. Everything went against them at those 34 games, 10-24 on the road. They really wanted to figure out why was it such a difference from the road to home and where they were with the balance of the wins and losses between the two sides, which culminated into a 39-26 record at the end of the day.
I'm dying to know. Did you ask him when he said we figure something out? Were you like, what is it? Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, you got to listen to it.
You got
to
find out.
You
got
to find out. But listen, they said it. You know, he said, we think we figured something. We think we unlocked something.
Probably two things, right?
Could be two things. What are those two things? Simmons at the four and what? Shake at the one?
And now Horford on the bench.
And now Horford on the bench. And the last game, we really saw him come off the bench because after the All-Star break didn't really count. Simmons got hurt quickly. It was the Clipper game where he played well at Horford. Yep. They played the Clipper game and he was good. Shake was good. Shake didn't score many points. Actually, Furkan Korkmaz started that game, as a matter of fact. So he didn't even have an opportunity to play with Ben. And that's the other thing, Joe. We haven't seen Ben Simmons with Shake Milton since Shake Milton has become Shake Milton.
Sure, yeah. And you know, you never want to be, and obviously they're not the same caliber player. But you always hear you don't want guys to lose their job because of injury. If Ben Simmons is actually about what he's saying that he's about, and just being a basketball player and helping whatever helps the team win or whatever, they needed somebody who could shoot and space the floor in the worst way. They had to find somebody who could do that. They did. If they found Shake and Shake's working out and they still trust Shake the way that they did when all of this ended, then they're probably a better team now than they were then.
Did it have to be someone who handled the ball like Shake Milton does with the pick and roll situation? Could it have been, taking it back now to the trade, could it have been Landry Shamet? And I only say Landry Shamet because it was in that J.J. Redick role where Ben would still have the ball and you can still unlock a lot of things with him. I think it was really, first of all, I think it was Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, that one hurts.
That was number one. That was the unlock. Number two was Jimmy Butler. That was a weird fit, although I still wish they would have made that happen and he was still here.
And it still kind of worked. Yeah.
It still worked. I think with them doing it from November to where they were in the playoffs, and of course Ben probably not liking it, and Jimmy Butler alluded to that on the J.J. Redick podcast, that he was like, look, I would have been upset too. He was like, you took the ball out of my hands. I would have loved an offseason.
Yeah,
like
to work it out.
To figure out and see if it worked. Yeah, now you would have already given them an extension, a four-year deal, new year deal, and you would have been locked in. But I would have loved to have seen an entire offseason where you now looked at going through two rounds, losing in game seven. Guys, how can we make this work? Will this work? Let's do this.
So to answer your question,
I would have loved to have seen that.
I do think
and
it had
Landry Shamet.
Well, I do think it had to be somebody on the ball, and
not Landry Shamet. It was more Fultz and Butler.
And the reason why is that, like, you know, I've been consistent on this, that like Ben Simmons does not need to shoot threes. Like, I don't think that that's something that has to happen. I don't even think he has to shoot outside. But I think that it's too big of a handicap now for your point guard in the NBA to not do those things. You know what I mean? Like, Ben is incredibly valuable in all of these other areas. I think that he can still provide that value even if he's not bringing the ball up the court. But if the guy who is bringing the ball up the court is not a threat to shoot, I think that in 2020, that's too big of a handicap.
But in 2020, do we care who brings the ball up the court oftentimes? Well, outside of naming like you have, Damian Lillard, Stephen Curry, James Harden, even Russell Westbrook, of course, as a point guard, they both share those responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving and a number of other point guards in this league. And we're going to get back to that top five point guard thing also.
Yes.
But does it matter because they all come bring the ball up the floor, dribble handoff, then come back around, set a screen, come back around and get the ball?
The way that I look at it is like I equate it to baseball and the shift. Like, I look at it like when Ben Simmons comes up with the ball, defenses already, regardless of what else happens,
true,
look way different than when all of those other guys,
true,
are coming up, right? So, like, that's,
yeah,
where the difference is.
Yes.
With all of the, like, Lillard and Harden are two perfect examples of this, and Curry. If the point guard's head is turned and he's setting the defense, there are no passes. Like, he's just going to shoot as soon as he brings the ball up and as soon as the guy turns it. That there's no threat for that for Ben. You're seeing the defense collapse a little bit more even before any action or any motions happen. Like, those are things that I look at, and that's why I think that it's different than those other guys.
Let me give you another example. And Charlie, hang on, man. We'll get to you shortly. And of course, we're going to have Barrett Brooks on, and we'll have Charlie on before we get to Barrett so we can give him all his opportunity to speak before we get to B. Brooks. Look at the Clippers, JT. Patrick Beverley is your point guard, technically, right? Paul George brings the ball up.
Sure. Yep.
Patrick Beverley brings the ball up. Hell, Landry Shamet brings the ball up as a starter to stretch the floor with that lineup with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac. You know what I mean? So
yes.
To your example of the other guys who are these great shooters, Patrick Beverley brings the ball up, dribble handoff, he runs away. Goes around, comes back,
sure,
around, that type of thing, while the offense is being run through those other guys, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So that's why, I mean, I think he's going to split time with Shake Milton with the ball in his hands.
Uh-huh.
He's still going to be a point guard, people.
So kind of like a Jimmy Butler situation.
Yeah, he's still going to be a point guard. Shake is just going to have it a lot more.
Well, he doesn't need to practice at the point guard. Ben doesn't. So if you practice him exclusively at power forward, you're saying that doesn't mean that he plays exclusively.
No, not all the time. No, because he's too valuable in a lot of different ways. Yes, the screens and all these different things. I didn't even bring up the fact that you can have him when he does run across the baseline. He got lob opportunities. We're not even talking about him rubbing him off of Joel Embiid. coming around a pick from Joel Embiid, getting a center now matched up on Ben Simmons, which I hope he takes advantage of, which he did not against Aaron Baines when they played the Phoenix Suns, and I was mad. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we got Charlie on the phones first. Then we will get to Barrett Brooks and get his thoughts on Jason Peters back with the Birds in a new position at right guard. Is this a good move? I say yes. We'll get JT, Josh Rabick, and of course Barrett Brooks. Charlie, when we get back, 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with Josh Rabick until 10 on the Fanatic.